T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
It is Dom time. Welcome in. Boy, looking at the Delco Times today and Philadelphia Inquirer, Delco residents prepare for new assessments, new property assessments. Uh-oh. Delaware County again. So last week we had the guy on, or 2 weeks ago, I forget which it was, from the council out there wanting to slap the $5 on every vehicle so that you won't collapse a bridge out there in Delaware County. We've had the new DA on. Wow, what a shoot up. Delaware County, people wanted it. Here we go. Do you think those assessments are going to assess downward so you don't pay more in taxes? No, I don't think so. That's coming your way. Don't be mad at the Democrats. They're only doing what Democrats do, what progressives do. Be mad at the Republican infrastructure out there that's asleep at the wheel and doesn't challenge them, doesn't give people a reason to vote for them. That's what I'm convinced at it. All right. Now, we've all had the experience. It's like, when will the Bloomberg ad hit me? I wonder if you've been keeping track how many times a day. For most of us, you're probably consuming a Bloomberg ad 7 to 10 times a day of one sort or another. The number one ad has President Obama, Michael Bloomberg here. You know, Michael Bloomberg's here tonight. That's not an endorsement. He's saying he's here. He probably paid for it. And they run this ad because he was a prominent figure of the times he was around President Obama. Well, a lot of people are taking from this ad, and this explains a lot, that it is suggesting that Obama endorsed him. Okay? Especially considering how minimal was the Bloomberg endorsement of Obama in 2012. So he's trying to wrap himself to avoid all these racial questions in the vestments of President Obama. Now, it's hard for me to see. Here's the grand theory, what a lot of people think, and I can buy this. Why is Obama not publicly saying, you know, these ads are true, it's fine, I didn't endorse then or now, and I'm not endorsing Michael Bloomberg? Well, theory is that Obama knows that Joe Biden has been cooked forever. He didn't endorse him in the beginning, and he's not going to endorse him or anything like that. He certainly doesn't want Bernie Sanders. So maybe Obama's ploy is to get this to a divided convention. Now, that could be toxic, except if he has a candidate in mind. That would be Michelle Obama. That's a grand conspiracy theory, because Obama is not speaking out or telling Bloomberg to stop this ad. You know the ad I'm talking about. And it plays again and again and again. That seems to be the number one ad in his arsenal. Each of us has probably seen it 20 times, I bet, or heard it if you're listening on the radio, right? Why is Obama not being more public about saying anything? Could it be that's what he's up to? Now, he doesn't want Bernie Sanders for a lot of reasons. I don't think he really would want Hillary, but I guess she might be the best option. But I can't picture President Obama wanting a Michael Bloomberg. That just doesn't strike me as anything. So that's why people think there's something deeper going on here. We'll watch for that. But that ad is what has driven his poll numbers up. A lot of people see that ad and they think, hey, that's kind of an endorsement, isn't Obama? Wow, President Obama's endorsing Bloomberg. At least it suggests that. And you play it again and again and again. I think he spent more than $400 million when you consider the infrastructure. Dan gave me a story today where Bloomberg has hired so many people nationwide, thousands and thousands on the payroll, canvassers and people that are manning his offices in places like Philadelphia, even though the primary's not till April and all that. that other campaigns for smaller offices are not able to get political talent. They can't match the pay, and he sucked all them up. That's exactly what's going on here. So do you know how expensive that has to be? It's not just the airtime stuff. It's paying all these activist groups and ministers and everything else so they shut up and just let him say whatever he wants. That's what's going on here. He's probably spent $500 million. Newt Gingrich, who's pretty savvy in this, predicting he could spend up to $6 billion. Let me predict this. The thing I like about Bloomberg that I didn't like that Mitt Romney, when he ran and he had the money, if you're in for $4 billion and you're running for president, right? Why would you not spend $6 billion if that's going to win it for you in the end? In other words, if I had $61.8 billion as he does, and I wanted to be president, and this is getting me close, I'm thinking I'm going to spend $60 billion at least. Why not? Doesn't this emphasize, too, how great it is to be a president of the United States? Just think about it. It's something up until now that you weren't able to buy. I'm still convinced he can't buy the general election, but we'll see. So you can be saying, why does someone want to be in that office? Look at the demands and all that. I get that. But I got to tell you, just think of how great it is to be able to actually impact for the better, like Trump has. Just think about what that means, to have that kind of power. How about the pardon power yesterday? You're making a decision that changes lives. You know, money, if you're struggling, or even if you're wealthy, is one thing. If you're a billionaire, though, that versus being president, it's the one thing. It is the one thing in the world. I can't think of anything as big as that, as tremendous as that. It's not a burden. That's the way I see it. So I understand why these people want to do it. Takes a rare breed, but I understand it completely. All right, phone lines are 855-839-1210. You get in. AT&T and Verizon Wireless, you just push pound 1210. At the end of your call, just hit us with the hair. Whose hair stands out to you? It's kind of a brand. Facial hair, too. By the way, I got a lot of emails, a lot of people interested in this, and I just got this yesterday. Let me just revisit something pretty startling. And as soon as I got news of this, I immediately started researching to see if Pennsylvania was included. There's a program that Bloomberg funds out of the NYU Center. It embeds lawyers on the issue of climate, going after businesses and pushing the envelope, suing people, using the government, being part of cases in attorneys general office across the country. The states that are involved are Maryland, Illinois, Massachusetts, New Mexico, New York, Oregon, Virginia, Washington State, District of Columbia, and Pennsylvania. That means, according to this, that these people, there's one at least in the Attorney General office. And Dan, if you could just shoot them the contact, we have there an email. Will they answer? Can they tell the citizens here, at least in the Dom Giordano show, that yes, they do have a lawyer on staff who's been embedded from the Bloomberg funded NYU Center? Now, private funding of lawyers inside public prosecutors' office is not a new idea, right? But this is on a level that the ideological point of this violates, I think, or at least people, where are the Republicans in Harrisburg? Why do we have to do all the heavy lifting? What do these goons do all day long? Are they going to question this? This information is out there. I got it. What are they doing? They had to be talking to Josh Shapiro. Is this true? And what are the guardrails where the public is protected from Bloomberg's ideology here by embedding? Now, you know, the Soros strategy, which is to get elected attorney general and prosecutors, like let them loose Larry, right? By the way, I got something coming up at about 10:30. I'll get into it. City of Philadelphia put up yesterday, and somebody told me immediately, and I have the information on it, on their webpage, their policy to protect public safety. They believe the safe injection site will be open soon. Yeah. And they lay out what they're going to do. It's like four pages of it. I'll give it to you at 10:30. And this is all part, you know, if there were a DA, thank God we have Bill McSwain, our friend and the U.S. attorney in this area. He's mightily trying to stop all this, but every other group here in Philadelphia is behind us. And you have a former governor who says he'll be a volunteer shepherding people in, even if he gets locked up. Lock him up! Hey, can we get that going? Lock him up. Lock him up, not lock her up. Okay? This is all breaking here in Philadelphia. So why do we need a Bloomberg person in the Attorney General office to agitate for more and more climate change cases and lawsuits and all that? That's what this appears to be. All right, 855-839-1210. And people wonder why talk radio exists. You know why it exists? Because you have these Republicans in Harrisburg that don't do a damn thing. They con you out in the suburbs. I got an R in front of my name. Send me off to Harrisburg to protect you. What are they doing about this? They have all kinds of researchers. Hundreds of people work for them. Are they aware that a Bloomberg guy is embedded in the Attorney General's office? Are they okay with that? Do they go, well, what's the big beef? What's this big mouth making a big beef? I'm making a big beef because these people do nothing. They are feckless in trying to protect why they're supposed to be elected. All right, 855-839-1210. Let's go to Larry in West Grove. And Larry, you're on Talk Radio 1210. Good morning, Larry.
Hey, good morning, Dom. I just, tonight at the debate, I'm wondering, I would like to see somebody ask Bernie Sanders that if, you know, whenever they talk about his socialist stance, that he's more like a moderate, like Scandinavian, why didn't he take his honeymoon over in Sweden or somewhere instead of Russia?
Well, yeah, maybe Amy Klobuchar is about the only one that might do that. That's something that Donald Trump would say to him. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Who's your hair person?
I'm going bald. Telly Savalas with the lollipop and the bald head.
Kojak. All right, Telly Savalas. Kojak is a good one. He was in several things. Made bald good. Made it his signature. Yeah, that's a good one. All righty. By the way, I've told you that the highest honored guest probably that I've ever had is when we did the Andy's Diner tour, and we had not one, not two, but three recipients of the Medal of Honor. Three of them there at once. Police brought him in, big parade and all that. A lot of you came out, bought him drinks and all that. And I also told you they're not great guests on the radio. You know why? Because they're self-effacing. They don't want to talk about it. They're true heroes. One of them, though, was quite a character. And there's a big piece in the paper today about him nationally. 75 years ago today, this month, 75 years ago today, Iwo Jima. Okay? This guy's name is Woody. His nickname is Herschel Williams. 5'6", the youngest of 11 children of a dairy farmer from West Virginia. This guy was a character. He had this flaming red jacket on. We had him at Andy's Diner, drinking Boilermakers at 10:30 in the morning. He's the guy that fought off the Japanese using a flamethrower. When he ran out of flame, he went back. This went over 8 hours fighting the Japanese on Iwo Jima. It was incredible the damage he did that day and why he was recognized. Of course, the planting of the flag on Mount Suribachi is immortalized in that famous statue in Arlington, Virginia. But Godspeed, Woody Herschel Williams, 75 years ago today. It's hard to believe 75 years ago today, Iwo Jima, one of the few Medal of Honor winners that you can get to open up. Most of these guys, it's just like you're next to royalty. You know, you get their story. They tell you off air a little bit and you think, wow, how do we find guys to do stuff like this? But this guy particularly stood out. It was incredible what he did while facing enemy fire. All right. More of your calls coming up. 855-839-1210. We had a listener yesterday who made a great point about President Trump fighting for the wall. And I told him I would dig and bring you Jorge Ramos, the Telemundo Univision guy, I guess he is, who is the biggest proponent of undocumented, if you will, in the media, wrote a piece, Trump got his wish. Mexico is now the wall. This appeared in the New York Times. I'll just give you a little bit of it. And I think it gives you a good sense of what Trump has already done, even though he hasn't been able to deliver on thousands of miles of the wall, which he's angling for and getting more money for. But even as we speak, he's made a huge difference at protecting us vis-a-vis, you got to say that was the signature promise of President Trump. Debate night tonight. Tonight is one not to miss. Bloomberg has made it so much, enhanced so much of this. We would have heard the usual stuff tonight otherwise. By the way, we're working on getting Tom Cotton on the show. Tom Cotton out there, the senator from Arkansas, saying, isn't it amazing that the fake news media is more coming after me than going after China? Because he's dared to suggest we ought to be checking out where the coronavirus has come from. Not from human contact in that meat market or whatever it is, but from a super lab, potentially. And then the other big fake news story out there that has been vehemently denied in both written and oral form is that William Barr is telling the Trump people he is thinking of quitting due to President Trump's tweeting. Okay? He's denied it. This is the media trying to drive this wedge there. Now, you know, the play last week with Barr was to try to gain some public sentiment due to difficulties he sees with a number of these attorneys quitting inside the Department of Justice or being in the tank on top of that in some of these cases. That's what it was about. I don't think William Barr is going to quit in this. I can't imagine that at all. He has been spectacular as Attorney General, and I think President Trump gets that. So I'm not seeing this happening. This is a major fake news trying to drive a wedge between the two, hoping Trump reacts or something like that, I guess. Now, on China, we had a guy on the show, Clay Travis. Now, this guy is a sports commentator extraordinaire. I think he's on Fox Sports. He's not in the tank for these athletes or whatever. His book was something like Republicans Buy Sneakers Too. LeBron James tweeted out yesterday this ongoing story with the Houston Astros. LeBron James tweets out, listen, I know I don't play baseball, but I am in sports, and I know if someone cheated me out of winning the title and I found out about it, I would be blanking irate. I mean, like uncontrollable about what I would or could do. Listen here, baseball commissioner. Listen to your players speaking about how disgusted, mad, hurt, broken about this. Literally, the ball is in your court, or should I say field. You need to fix this for the sake of sports. So Clay Travis responds beautifully. LeBron, as someone who is in sports, what do you think about a league, players, and coaches that refuse to endorse democracy in the First Amendment because it's bad for business, yet constantly lecture us about politics here in America? Thanks, bud. Of course, he's talking about the NBA, LeBron James, and others when it came to China. That's exactly what he's talking about. That's when they had something at stake. All the lecturing, all the posturing. Nope, can't do it about China. So I'm wondering tonight, I think the biggest substantive point with Bloomberg is how vulnerable he is on the issue of China. How much in the tank he is. We played you that. The leader of China now is not a dictator stuff. He's got billions invested there. He's incredibly vulnerable on China, and I think Trump is going to take him apart. Why won't Democrats do that? They're more interested in Russia. They're more interested in always talking about Russia. Now, I'm even-handed on this. Putin's evil, but Putin is ineffectual. The Chinese are the enemy. The Chinese are taking us on in every arena possible. And that's why the NBA, LeBron James, and others blinked because of the big money that's in there. Tucker Carlson has been brilliant. And last night, he laid this out a little bit about what some of our, quote, elites have done with China and how much they've hurt us. Are you aware right now that there's a worryment with the coronavirus about masks, getting masked into this country, that we apparently don't produce them? Well, we ought to be opening up mass production right now around this. And how many other things? Trump has come in and pushed back on this mightily. This is the battle. This is the enemy. This is what we face. And we don't have to be politically correct. We're not saying Chinese Americans are. We're saying Red China, the communist Chinese. They are the enemy up and down the line. Here's Tucker Carlson last night talking about that, breaking down some of the scandals involved with communist China.
Bloomberg's personal admiration for the bloodthirsty fossil in charge of the world's largest communist country isn't the only reason he likes China. There's big money at stake, of course. That's always what it's about. Bloomberg's company has enormous investments in the country, and that has influenced how Bloomberg News reports on China. In 2013, for example, Bloomberg News was accused of killing stories that would have revealed corruption by family members of the Chinese dictator. And yes, he is a dictator. Ben Richardson, Bloomberg's Asia editor, later said he'd been told directly by leaders at his company that covering the Chinese Politburo was off limits. That's like telling a Washington bureau chief you can't cover Congress because you might insult them. That's Michael Bloomberg's position. Just today, former Bloomberg reporter Lita Hong Fincher wrote in The Intercept about how Bloomberg's lawyers threatened to destroy her life if she wouldn't sign a non-disclosure agreement about the company's censorship practices. But don't take their word for it. A few years ago, Bloomberg openly admitted that he let China censor his company's news. He actually said that on television. Here it is.
Over the past year, there's been questions about the journalism going on in China and whether the company, in its effort to grow, has muzzled.
In China, they have rules about what you can publish. We follow those rules. If you don't follow the rules, you're not in the country. We write the stories that we think are interesting, and we distribute them where they are allowed to be distributed.
Where they're allowed to be distributed.
This guy is so casual in the stuff that he's saying. He is an authoritarian par excellence. And Carlson, to his credit, has been making that point. All right, our side question of the day for the much-in-demand Dom Time calendar, which we'll have some tonight. And if Dan is there, we'll get him to autograph it too. He's in there. You can autograph the Santa page, where I'm an elf and he's Santa. I think we were miscast. He should have been the elf. All right, 855-839-1210. You'll get a line at the end of your call. Just hit us with somebody where hair is part of the brand, part of the stories, either facial or, you know, the mustache crew, or it's the hair on your head. That's what we're up to today. Let's go to Tom in Voorhees, and Tom's on Talk Radio 1210. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, Dom. You know, I've not seen the Bloomberg ad yet, but I find it very ironic because you remember back during Hurricane Sandy and the aftermath, Obama wanted to go to New York, and Bloomberg said, no, stay away. You're just going to mess up the works. And Christie welcomed him with open arms. And a lot of people thought, you know, that was the reason why Romney was sunk, because you didn't see him during that period of time because they were taking up all the press.
Well, that's right. That's when I had the shootout with Governor Christie. That is historic still to this day. Yeah.
It's when a lot of people turned on him, I think.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, without a doubt.
And my selection for the hair was the Duck Brothers, any one of the Duck Brothers with the beards.
Very good. That's great hair all over the place. Duck Dynasty. That is a really, really good one. All right, 855-839-1210, AT&T, and Verizon Wireless. All you have to do is just push pound 1210. Let me go to Keith in Philly. And Keith, you're on the Dom Giordano program. Hi, Keith.
Hey, Dom. How are you? Good morning.
Morning.
As far as the hair, I was going to say Jim Carrey, but actually I'm leaning now towards, I embarrassed, can't remember his name, but the Pirates of the Caribbean dude.
Johnny Depp.
A number of hairstyles.
Johnny Depp.
Johnny Depp, right. He's got the hair, the mustache, the beard.
Yeah, he plays a great degenerate. I think he's playing it in his private life at this point, too, though. But go ahead.
Right. Not going well. I got to say, as far as Donald Trump in general, you know, during the primaries, he was my, out of 17 Republican candidates, probably my 19th choice. But I got to say, he has done more to fulfill promises than any president I can imagine, despite being pounded from every side. Just incredibly efficient, has fulfilled his promises. I'm an evangelical Christian and feel he's done more to espouse religious liberty in this country than anybody.
Well, let me get you said, as an evangelical Christian, Mayor Pete last night on his town hall, just hold up. I want to play this for you, Keith, because it's important.
Okay.
He's coming after you again, if you're a Christian, let alone an evangelical right. Christian. Here's what the diminutive Mayor Pete, don't think he's the mayor of South Bend. Just think he's the mayor of Cherry Hill. Here's what Mayor Pete said about Christians.
You know, to the point you talk about God not belonging to any kind of a political party, at the last CNN town hall, you said if your faith calls upon you to help the marginalized, those who are afflicted, to comfort people, to strive for humility and decency, as the Christian faith does. And then I quote you, then I just can't imagine that requires
decency.
Of you that you be anywhere near this president. Do you think it is impossible to be a Christian and support President Trump?
Oh, my God.
I'm not going to tell other Christians how to be Christians. But I will say I cannot find any compatibility between the way this president conducts himself and anything that I find in Scripture. Now, I guess that's my interpretation, but I think that's a lot of people's interpretation. And that interpretation deserves a voice.
All right, Keith, before you answer, hey, buddy, how about life? How about the life issue? How about if we start with that, buddy? Is that in Scripture enough for you? But go ahead, Keith. I got carried away.
That's incredibly offensive. And he completely misunderstands Scripture. Jesus is talking about individual grace and mercy to our neighbors, not government taking care of everything, not government killing our babies. And he's got serious problems with interpretation of Scripture. But certainly Jesus calls for grace and mercy, but on an individual and private basis.
Well put, Keith. Thank you very much. And thanks for your hair selection here with Johnny Depp. That's a good one. All right, 855-839-1210. I'd love to get you. You know, isn't it amazing? Mayor Pete doesn't get asked by lightweights like Aaron Burnett. Well, let's drill down and talk about black voters. Why are they rejecting it? The media doesn't want to talk about that. And I think it's pretty obvious because he's gay. So why are, you know, he's doing well and other, well, they say, well, we don't know. No, that's the reason. Okay, let's break that down. So evangelicals are pounded. How could they be supporting a guy who doesn't live up to Christian values? Yet you have a group here who apparently will not vote for a guy because of what the Democrat Party would say is homophobia or bigotry. We don't want to write about that. We still want to play this theme of going after evangelicals. They're still thinking that guys like Keith and others can be shaken by Trump. He will do or say something if Mayor Pete just keeps on saying he's not Christian. Yeah, you know, well, Don, why do you keep on bringing up that life issue? There are other issues too. Yes, I agree there are other issues, but you know what? That's the biggest. I don't care what you say. That's the biggest. Everybody knows it. You have to be a clown to think there's something bigger than that. You gotta love it, the city of sisterly affection for a year. That's Philadelphia, Dom Giordano's show, where you don't have to pay your library overdue charges. That's been taken care of. And now, yesterday, they released how they're going to handle, on their website, what it would do to support one or more supervised injection sites. All right? Which it calls overdose prevention sites. It states that the Philadelphia Police Department will work to prevent an increase in illicit drug sales in the immediate vicinity of safe houses, site or sites. Now, wait a minute. Why? Why would they be doing that? I don't get that. Why are they making harder on the addicts? There will be like a hot dog stand there of every drug imaginable right in front of the place. Doesn't that make sense? They ought to have testers there to say the city of Philadelphia will certify this drug is pure. There's no fentanyl, right? If you want to prevent overdoses. Oh, come on now. You guys, you don't get it. You don't get what we're up to here. And here's a direct quote. If you think you're going to have drug dealers who try to prey upon people who use opioids, and I think you may have people who may try to rob individuals, adding those trends have been observed in other cities. We're there to make sure that the predators that are likely to try to prey upon people suffering with addiction are kept at bay. So the Philadelphia police are going to stand by. They're there to stop that. When a bunch of these people who are lawless and out of control up and down the line, like the former governor, prattle on with having people shoot up in a drug den in front of them. Yet, the police are there to ferret that out, look the other way with that, but to make sure that the drug dealers are not there dealing drugs. Just think of this city. This is the distillation of the progressive mindset. And it includes the governor. It includes the nun that's behind us. They're already thinking about how to protect those coming and going in its space, says Safe House. In January, it hosted training for volunteer escorts, modeled, of course, after the Planned Parenthood strategy. The city's plan doesn't outline a specific police response or relationship to the presence of federal law enforcement, which the U.S. attorney has threatened to deploy if Safe House opens. Well, inquiring minds want to know, is the mayor going to tell the Philadelphia police to stop the federal agents? So what are the Philadelphia police going to do? What are they going to be told to do if the feds, through Bill McSwain, the U.S. attorney, are there to prevent this? What are they going to do? They said, though, that the Philadelphia police would not assist federal law enforcement. Oh, let me just, Dan, just play this out. Come on with me for a second here. So this Abernathy guy, this managing director, try to get him on, please. The question I want to ask is this. So let's say a drug dealer shoots one of the federal cops. The Philadelphia police are not supposed to help them. They're not supposed to aid them. Just think of this rot, this progressive rot, what these people are up to. How about if the citizens in Kensington don't want that? Well, they're going to be arrested there. The commitment to protecting those who may have recently overdosed comes with overdose reversal drug Narcan. There was a situation where a man agitated after being revived with Narcan was punched in the face by a Philadelphia police officer. According to the police, the man had overdosed in the parking lot of a Rite Aid on North Broad Street. By the time officers arrived in the scene, the overdose had been reversed. The man was agitated. During an effort to handcuff him and get him under control, an officer punched him in the face. And they're going after that cop now. Okay? Abernathy, this ivory tower guy, says someone being punched in the face is against police use of force policies, period. I think our officers face the highest levels, are very well trained, manage themselves incredibly well. Oh, yeah, you try to subdue a guy who's going nuts after he's been. I'd love to have Abernathy and Kenny and let him loose Larry be in that cop's shoes in a stinking parking lot in North Philly trying to subdue and arrest a guy who's become agitated after coming out of an overdose. This is the epitome of progressive thought. This is where they are here in Philadelphia. The city supports having one or more of these sites in Philadelphia because they believe they can reduce drug overdose deaths, connect more people to treatment, decrease public illicit drug use, reduce the amount of discarded needles, prevent the spread of disease, improve access to health care. All right? The bottom line is this. They believe this because it makes them feel good, because this is another one of their little experiments. This is utopia. This is what these people do. So I'd love to get your reaction. And people often don't understand. Why is it with the soda tax or something like this, people who have moved away from Philadelphia in the suburbs are often most riled up pushing back against it? And the answer is, I think, because they are still taxpayers that Philadelphia drains their private money for all these boondoggles. That's why people are so upset.
I think you're overthinking it.
Why
I think
else?
People are just they want a good neighborhood that they can remember. You know, they grew up in a neighborhood that was
That's
great,
an interesting,
and,
right.
and then now they're looking back at the neighborhood they grew up in. They're seeing all this just stuff happen in their neighborhoods. It's horrible, and they're sad for it.
Dan, that's a very good thing. I don't know that you're going to get anybody to agree with you. I like that. I kind of think about it that way. You would be told to shut up then. Why did you move out of Philadelphia? But I agree with your point. There is some of that mixed in. Mm-hmm. They're sad, not just about their neighborhood, but in Philadelphia in general, that it's come to this.
So speaking from experience, as we know, I moved into Port Richmond about a year ago. And I've talked to a bunch of people, and they said, oh, I used to live in Port Richmond. I moved out. And their first concern is, how's the neighborhood looking now?
I
think that's a very, very common concern of people that used to live here in the city and moved out, not because it was unsafe, but because their family took them somewhere else or something like that.
Well, you know what? I hope you're right. That is a beautiful sentiment. If that's what it is in the main, I love that. You know, with me, I can't be in your camp. You're more noble. I hate them. You know, and I hate everything about them, and I hate how out of control they are. But you know where I place the blame? They're doing this Abernathy guy, Kenny, Let Him Loose Larry. They're doing what they said they would do. You know who I blame? The Republicans in Harrisburg. They're to blame for all this. They have the money. They could starve Philadelphia. They could fight them on every nickel and say, we are going to cripple you. That's what we're going to set to do. You're not getting away with this. Bill McSwain is like a one-man battle. And this is the connection. Here's your national connection to this. McSwain has become a friend. He's a friend of the show. We featured him at the Feast of the Seven Fishes. If President Trump were not elected, Bill McSwain would not be U.S. attorney. The U.S. attorney would be kind of a Larry Krasner type. So this gets back to Trump, too. But the federal government doesn't, I've tried to explain this many times, doesn't have as much standing in this stuff. He's fighting it. He's doing everything that he can. He's threatened to arrest them with federal agents. And these people say, we will not assist them in any way. Can you imagine? Would Trump have to send the National Guard in? But the bottom line is, the state does have standing. I'm talking about the one thing that will make them stop some of this is the money. That's what it comes down to. I'd love to hear you, though. Is Dan right? Maybe you've never called before. Is that what it is that gets people too upset with this stuff if they've moved out of Philadelphia for one reason or another? You think about what it used to be, and you think of what they've done to it, and you're sad about that. You're upset about that. You're thinking it doesn't have to be that way. That's a really, really noble thought. It is incredibly noble if that's what it is. I couldn't endorse that more. I have to be honest, though. That's not my number one motivation. It's just, it's anger. And I don't care if it's the governor. I don't care if it's the nun. They're immoral. They're wrong. This is completely out of line, up and down the line. Everybody knows it. But this is what they're going to do. They are going to do whatever they want. It's the same thing on a national level. So thank God Trump was elected. There's a shot here with the feds here in town. Imagine, too, being a cop. All the cops that I know, they tell me all the time, they're texting me now. Imagine being a commander telling the troops, all right, here's what you got to do. We got to stop the people getting robbed here. But you see people walking around with drugs here and all that. Don't do anything. They're able to do it here. They're just going to go in and shoot up and overdose. If they have to come out of their overdose and they come outside and they're agitated, don't try to arrest them, because if you do and you try to subdue them, it's going to be bad. Just think about what it's like being a cop with these progressive utopias. Just think of people that went into police work and they have to deal with this type of leadership. Wow. So it's finally coming to fruition. And I got to say, you know, this is a confessional. Dan asked me during the break, well, you think that's sad? It's original that people say they're sad. What's happened to the neighborhood? They're so connected. I have to say, never in the forefront of my mind did I put that down as the driving motivation why people do this. And that's pretty noble, if it is. I'm going to write about this, and I'm going to pull this out.
It's just that everybody has their hood, right? Like a hood that they came from. You're a South Philly guy, you know? And and I could look at you, and I can tell you that you care deeply about what happens in South Philly still because you have such memories of your childhood and of growing up in South Philly. And I feel like a lot of people have that kind of tie to their neighborhood, whatever neighborhood it is in Philadelphia.
Yeah, probably. That may be driving it. I'd love to hear from you if that's the case. Or maybe you never thought about it that way, and Dan's saying it, you now get it that way. I more, by doing this job, Dan, put it on just, I feel, thank God Bill McSwain's there, but it's just so angry. These people are insidious. This is so obviously wrong up and down the line. You got to give them credit, though. They just plow straight ahead. They co-opt. They're bringing in a former governor, and they're bringing in a nun, the nun that I brought to Seven Fishes and Lion Eyes. I don't care if she's a nun. It doesn't make it moral, sister. We've asked her multiple times to come on the show. Maybe it's better she doesn't. I mean, I can't argue with a nun that does such good work in other regards. But if I have to make a judgment, I'm making a judgment. This is immoral. I think you have to confess this. I'd love to ask somebody like the Archbishop. You set up something like this. Do you have to confess that? I think you do. This is aiding and abetting. Let's go to Joe in the Northeast on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Joe. Good morning.
Good morning, Dom. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome, Joe.
No, and I totally agree with you. I've been in recovery for 8 years now. And if there was a safe place ever, I probably still wouldn't be.
Well, Joe, that is tremendous that you've done that for 8 years. What was the addiction? Was it drugs?
Yeah, it was opiates.
Opiates, okay, yeah.
I was prescribed after work.
Okay.
Got hurt on a job. And,
right. Well, then you were you were on the cusp back then, and we had people unknowingly that got hooked on this stuff because of the power of it and their blood chemistry versus others who I don't believe it's that. I just believe they had an addictive personality and they got caught up in it. And you're right, though, Joe. I want to see how many people they turn around from addiction by this versus how many people think now that this is much safer and they continue with it.
The thing is, to be able to make that choice. I have two sons at the time. I have three now. And my first son came. That's what I always tell him. He saved my life because you need something. You have to lose everything to be able to think clearly when you're in that mindset. I grew up in a neighborhood my whole life, and I remember they were opening up a methanol clinic or something up the street and closed down Frankfurt Ave. We fought tooth and nail so that they wouldn't bring that in because they call it the kentification in the neighborhoods, you know?
Yeah, these people in Kensington who have fought back, and Kensington is better in certain parts. Now, Joe, because of the reputation of it and the potency, apparently, of the drug there, they're going to be under fire. And, Joe, imagine a cop told to guard and do this stuff while people are doing this illegally in front of them. Just imagine what it's like being a cop here.
My little brother's – now, I don't want to give anything away from him, but I don't want to get him in trouble. But he was just in the cadets. He's in the police academy now his whole life. I mean, I told him to do things a little different. He went the opposite way, totally. But, I mean –
Well, that's all good. We wish him well with that.
Sending him down there to do that. No.
So, Joe, who is your person with the hair? Who's your hair person today?
John Stamos. Absolutely.
John Stamos. Perfect. Thank you, John. He already said that, Dan. He said if it had been there, he would still be an addict. Yeah.
Yeah, that was just something.
Yeah.
Because I listening back, I hear that now.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's just if there are so many recovering addicts that I just feel like if you bring it to a neighborhood, it's going to be like holding a piece of bacon in front of them, and they're going to want to bite.
Particularly in that area.
Yeah.
Tremendous number. All right, more calls coming up on this, 855-839-1210. And are people just going to throw their hands up in Philadelphia? See, this is the progressivism that says they're being kind. I'm being mean now.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.